You can imagine what life would be like if our mothers didn't care and didn't get involved in our lives. It's like our mothers get into the arena with us as kids, depending on our age, and they get involved and they help us to grow and to learn. And one of those parts is how we ask and seek and knock. And if you think of that, our mothers did probably a lot of that as they helped us grow up. They asked of God, they asked of us certain things. They helped us seek the right direction, as already was mentioned. They helped us knock on certain doors. And depending on the values and the expectations of our mothers, they would do it different. Each parent would do it different. And that is an important part of life and an important part of growing up, because we're all different, and they're all different in a unique way. And imagine, though, for a moment, if children didn't ask and seek and knock. And mothers would probably get very worried, say, what's happened to our child? Like, they're not responding right. They're not engaging right. They're not asking. They've lost their inquisitiveness. And we would think, oh, where can we get the help for them? So it's quite normal for children and for adults to be involved in this, what Jesus calls asking and seeking and knocking. Now, you might want to ask the question, Gary, why do you use that today? Well, last January, we began a series in the Sermon on the Mount, and certainly we didn't answer all the issues that Jesus brings out or all the teaching that Jesus brings out in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we would like to just fill that in a little bit between now and the end of June. And so that's why I'm going to this, because it is from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's one of those passages I think that would fit in terms of celebrating Mother's Day and also fit in terms of learning some principles of life. And so this is really important as we think of celebrating today. I also want to welcome the choir back, because last week I think the choir was at the MB Church. And so it's good to see you all back here this Sunday, although we're willing to share you just for one Sunday. That's all right. So welcome back this Sunday, and hope you enjoy worshiping here as you've come back. So thank you for that as well. Last week I did the topic very briefly on fasting. And so I think it's probably on the internet, and if you'd like to hear what that was like, please tune into the internet on our website. So today we want to look at this theme of asking and seeking and knocking. And if you think of it, we wouldn't be at the place we are had our mothers not helped us to ask and think and knock. But as a society, as a world, think of it. If people were not curious, if they were not, interested in moving beyond where they are, they saw new opportunities, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't have the internet where it is today. We wouldn't have the vehicles that can get around, the air travel, and so on and so forth. There's so much that has happened because somebody has asked, and somebody has done the seeking, and somebody has knocked on doors of opportunity. And so it's something that is a general principle that we can talk on, and Jesus brings that to the spiritual life, to the life in the kingdom of God. And so this morning I would like to highlight three imperatives that I think come from here, and two dynamic relationships that come as a result of this sermon this morning. So the first imperative is that when we ask, seek, and knock, we live within God's our God-given capacities. In other words, God creates us to have the capacity to ask, to seek, and to knock. And it's pretty important. And we read already in Scripture, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The question then is, what kind of disciples of Jesus do we become when we are encouraged to ask and to seek and to knock? And that is a pretty powerful question when you think of it. So Jesus says, talks about asking and seeking and knocking, and we would ask the question, so what kind of disciples would we be when we fulfill this, when we fulfill our God-given capacities? And so I've just thought of a few, and maybe there'll be more. One factor is that we'd be lifelong learners. You know, we can never stop the process of learning. We need to learn and grow and embrace it. And this is an important element in our discipleship with God. You know, that we learn what is our Christian faith. We learn how to live it out. We learn how to knock on doors of opportunities and so on and so forth. And if we fulfill this God-given capacity, then we'd be lifelong learners. Secondly, we learn how to distinguish between our will and our desires and God's will and God's desires. And this is a tough thing as we think of asking and seeking and knocking, because there is this sense where it's our own capacity, right? We were created with this capacity, but how does that capacity match God's capacity, God's interest, God's direction? We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we think of asking and seeking and knocking, and we become disciples of Jesus, we will learn how to discern God's will. We learn how to discern God's desires, and to distinguish those between ours and God's. Many years ago, before Carol and I met, Carol was on the way to going to Taiwan as a nurse. And I had grown up in India, and we thought, well, you know what? And as the relationship developed, we thought, well, okay, maybe God is saying to us that we should go overseas, right? And we discerned that, and we tried that door. We tried that door a number of times, but that door kept closing on us. In some way, it was our will, our desire. It wasn't wrong, but it wasn't God's direction. And so there's a sense that God led us to stay in Canada, because we decided to go to the other places, and God said, no, that door's not opening. This is the door I want you to go through. And so there's a process of discerning what is God's will and what is ours in this process of asking and seeking and knocking. And then we'll learn to go for help. You know, we can't live this life, this discipleship life on our own. We need to have help. And we need to have help whether, you know, we go for help as parents, or we need to have help whether it's issues that we need to struggle with ourselves, or it's relationship issues and so on. There is help available. And we dare not try to do it as lone rangers. We're not created that way. And so this idea of asking and seeking and finding is also opens the door to ask for help, the proper kind of help. When we ask and seek and find as disciples of Christ, we become humble. We have one of the characteristics, I think, of a disciple of Christ is humility. And this is so important, because look at the other side of humility is probably pride. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm really somebody. And, you know, in some ways we are. God has created us as somebody. But our ego gets in the way. Rather, a disciple of Christ, when we ask and seek and knock, we recognize that humility is an important characteristic here. You see, if we have humility, we can ask for forgiveness when we've hurt somebody else. When we have humility, we don't have to be at the center of the world, because Christ is at the center, and we interact that way. When there's humility, we allow others to participate and to be involved, and we become a community and a team that are seeking to work together. And if we come at the place of humility, then our asking or seeking or helping or knocking become ways that we interact and we encourage each other and support each other. And so humility is a very important part of this journey. When we ask and seek and help as disciples, we will learn that from God there is an abundance that we never expected. And I know there are many different kinds of theologies that said, well, you know, if you are a Christian, then you should, you know, expect to live on this level of financial whatever it is, and so on. But that's not what I'm talking about. We sang about the abundance this morning, and it was more on God's blessing of us. And the blessings are small blessings often. The abundance comes in small pieces at times. This past weekend, we had time together as a whole family, and we went to the Waterton National Park and spent time together, and it was just a real blessing to be together. That's part of the abundance of God as we ask and seek and knock. There are many places of abundance, and if we understand that, we'll understand where to find the abundance. You see, the abundance is always not about what we have, but the abundance is who we are, who are relationships, how do we express our love, how do we receive love, how do we receive gifts, and so on. And so when we walk as disciples of Jesus, there is an abundance that we get. And that comes from the generosity of God. So, I want to ask another question. So, what short circuits our capacity to ask and seek and knock? And here, just a few thoughts. The fear of failure. Sometimes the fear of failure will come and say, oh, you know what? I'm just scared to take that risk, to ask those questions or to seek out what might be the best direction or to knock on some doors of opportunity. And failure is one of those things. It's a fear of failure. I think we all have it to some extent, and it's at different levels. And that is one that could squelch the God-given capacity to ask and seek and knock. And another fear is the fear of rejection. So if you ask and seek and knock and God is leading you this direction, maybe some people won't like, you know, or think of you the same way. A number of years ago when I decided in a prayer time that I'd quit my job at Catholic Social Services, I know there were some people in the church that, oh, you know what? I don't know, Gary, if you made a good decision, and it's almost like they withdrew, right, rather than embracing. So the fear of rejection can keep us from living the capacity that I think God has created within us to ask and seek and knock. Another fear is the fear of change. And this we struggle with so much. Well, if we go into this place and walk into this journey with God, it's going to mean changes. And we know that life is changing around us, but sometimes we like to hang on. We like to hang on, and that change can really kind of pull us down. And so change can be something. And if we're afraid of changing, we will not ask and seek and knock in our God-given capacity. Another fear is the fear of getting hurt in the arena of life. And though, you know, you get involved and something doesn't go right and we get hurt. But the alternative to being in the arena is to being on the stands, and we become a critic for those people in the arena. And we realize that, you know what, the people in the arena are the ones that are involved. They get their hands dirty and so on and so forth. And I think we know about that so much in our work in the Food Grains Bank and MCC and our work in the community, that when we get our hands in there, get involved in there, that's where the asking and the seeking and the knocking needs to be felt and needs to be understood. That's in the arena of life and not in the stands, right? So let's, in summary then, we want to ask for that which will help you mature and grow as a person. We want to seek that which will build the kingdom of God. And that we want to knock on the doors of opportunity and notice the blessings of God. And so these are three areas of summary. The ask for that which will help us mature and grow as a people. And that's important, because if we grow in maturity, it can't help but but open the doors to opportunities and to seeking. And when we seek that, we want to build the kingdom of God and not just for ourselves, and we want to knock on doors of opportunity. So the second imperative is that God will give good gifts to sustain life to those that ask. Now, I changed that just a little bit, because it seemed like the gifts that God gives us are gifts that sustain life. Listen to these verses. And it says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, which sustains life, will give them a stone?" Right? "Which of you, if they ask for a fish, will give them a snake?" And so you think of these two foods, like bread and fish. Those are really important kinds of subject that Jesus does when he was in the gospel. You see that recorded in the gospels. For instance, when the boy came with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then for the 4,000 he came with, there were some fish and loaves of bread as well. And so it's like, wow, and God, you know, Jesus blessed this and they passed it out. And there was an abundance left over. We think of that. Oh, that we just pass over the 12 baskets left over. We don't know how big those baskets are, but they were left over, right? And we say, wow, that was abundance of God. And just something as simple as bread and fish. Or think of the disciples were fishing and they had caught nothing. And so Jesus said, "Throw your net on the other side." And what did they get? They didn't just get 5 or 10 or 15 fish. They got a net full of fish. They could hardly pull it in. And think of the abundance of God, that he took something that they knew so much about, fishing, and he says, "Let me give you an abundance." And so he asked them to throw the net on the other side. And then he said, "How much more would it be if I make you fishers of men?" Fishers of people, right? And so you get this sense of the abundance of God, but using that which is bread and fish, that which is sustains life. And God gives us in the abundance in that way. Another story of abundance, and this is more with the first miracle that Jesus did, was when he was in John, this is recorded in John chapter 2, where Jesus went to a wedding feast, and his mother said, "You know, the wine is a bit short today. Can you do anything about this?" He said, "Oh, come on, Mom, I can't. Don't bother me with that." And then she tells the servants, "Just do what he says." And so he says, "Well, put water in these vats," or 6 or 10 vats of water, and each vat had maybe 30 gallons in it. So you can imagine that they took this wine and they took it to the host, and they said, "Whew, what kind of wine is this? This is the best wine." It was not only the best wine, but look at the abundance of the wine that Jesus, the miracle performed there that day. Just an abundance. And so often we don't look at that in the miracles in Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask him?" So this makes some inferences. If your children did not ask, seek, and knock, you would think something is wrong with them, right? And then there's another inference that say, if God's children did not ask, seek, and knock, God is asking, what is wrong with my children? They aren't asking, they aren't seeking, they aren't knocking. You know, it just... Is part of life. And what happens when the children don't ask and seek and knock? And we can make another inference, that parents, and talks about this in Matthew there, if parents who are evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more does our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Wow, what an inference. So God is a good God wanting to give good gifts to his children. And sometimes we don't have eyes to see those gifts. Sometimes we get caught with blinders on our eyes and we don't see those gifts. The reference is made here to our Father in heaven. And this is a phrase that comes out in the Sermon on the Mount a number of times. If you look in Matthew chapter 6, the first place that it's used is in tithing, in giving alms. And he says, "Your Father in heaven who sees you give this in secret will reward you in secret." And then in prayer, he says, "Your Father in heaven already knows what you are asking for." He knows that. And then in how we fast, it says, "Your Father in heaven knows, will reward you when you fast in secret." And so there is this sense of this relationship with our Father in heaven to us that's so vital, that's so important in this. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, in the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, what does Jesus say? "Our Father who art in heaven." This is how you should pray. "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And talking about the will of God done here on earth. And so, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask? So here's a summary. When parents give good gifts to their children, it is to help their children thrive, right? When God gives good gifts to his children, it is to help his children thrive. Isn't that beautiful? That God gives good gifts to help us thrive, to become the people that he would like us to be. And one of those processes in asking and seeking and knocking, it helps us to become the people. It helps to form and shape us into being the people of God in a very dynamic way. So a third imperative that we find in this scripture is, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, this is a statement that it's interesting because the footnotes in the NIV study Bible say that this is something that other religions say. They may say it in a little different way. Other cultures may have some of this embedded in their culture. But here it is in a positive form. And then Jesus says, "This is the law and the fulfill the law and the prophets." And so you would find this, this is a summary statement from the Old Testament that Jesus comes and he makes. And he says, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." If each of us has the capacity to seek and to ask, to seek and knock, we have to allow others to have the same privilege, though they may make different decisions or they may choose to stay stuck. Okay? And you have to realize this, that the action that Jesus is talking is about from one person to the next and to the other. And in asking and seeking and knocking, you know, if we claim that for ourselves, it's our own discipline and it's our own in our own way of following Jesus, we have to recognize that others might be asking and seeking and knocking in ways that we don't understand. And it creates a dialogue. It creates us coming together to talk about it. But we have to allow that freedom in the other person because that's how we want to be treated and that's how we can treat others, right? So this does not say that the way we treat others depends on their action first. Okay, so often we think, well, you know what, if they're going to do this to me, then I'm going to do it back. But this is taking the initiative to say, you know, it's my responsibility to do the action first, regardless of what comes back. And that's what's so important here, that when we learn how to ask and seek and knock in the kingdom of God, we come to understand and appreciate how God has treated us. And from this perspective, we learn how to treat others the way God has treated us. Isn't this amazing? God shows his kindness. We have the fruit of the Spirit. All those fruit of the Spirit, God has imparted to us first. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, and so on. Those are values that God has imparted to us. And as we have received those are what I think Jesus is saying. We need to learn to give others. Do to others as you would have them do to us. Whether they do it or not is still something you would like others to do. That we recognize that God gives good gifts to his children, and from this place of generosity, we also give good gifts to our children, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to our neighbors. And this keeps going on and on and on. Years ago, there was a movie that emphasized, I can't remember the title, but pay it forward, right? Pay it forward. And this guy would say, okay, so I'll pay it forward and help. Somebody helps me, I'll pay it forward to help somebody else and somebody else and so on and so forth. And this is, in a way, kind of paying it forward. We're paying forward what it means to treat others as we would have them treat us. So there are three imperatives. The first had to do with asking, living within God's capacity. The second imperative is that we rely on God for his gracious gifts. And the third one is that we treat others the way we would want to be treated. There are two relationship dynamics. First of all, the relationship dynamic is that we must learn to trust. Jesus raises the standard in the Sermon on the Mount, and the only way that we can live this standard is to trust Christ. You see, that is so critical. When we ask, seek, and knock, and when we trust that God will give us the gifts of abundance, and when we do to others as we would like them to treat us, it must come from a place of trust in Christ. You see, life in the kingdom of God comes from a place of trust in God. And without these trusts, the expectations become rules and are impossible to keep. And so the first and most important part in the relationship dynamic is to trust Christ. And the second part of this relationship dynamic is that we have to take the initiative and learn to grow as God's children. You see, we have been created to ask, seek, and knock, and this is really part of our DNA. This is part of how God has created us, to have this kind of curiosity, to seek, to knock on opportunities. God has created us with that. And so we are responsible for that which God has created us to have the capacity to be. Even when we are going through difficult times, the way out is by asking, seeking, and knocking. And even at times when it's dark, we ask the God has gives us the kind of questions to ask. Well, where do I need to go? Or what do I need? What kind of questions do I need to ask? How do I need to continue to seek? And what kind of doors of opportunity are coming? Seems like a dark night of the soul helps us to focus on that element that Christ is there, and we are responsible as we make decisions that move us through that dark space into the light of Christ. And so that is one element. Even when we are going through difficult times, the way out is by asking, seeking, and knocking. There are times when God has a chance to help us ask the right questions, to seek the right direction, and to knock on those opportunities that we didn't know were there. Oftentimes you will hear stories of that, of people who struggle with health issues, and there are major health issues, and when they come through in the end, they realize, you know what, I'm a different person. God has used this to help create in me a different person. Maybe there's more generosity. Maybe there's more love for the children and for the neighbors. Maybe there's other elements that come through because they came through that time. And they have learned how to ask and seek and knock. We have been created to give good gifts to our children. And as adults and as parents, we are responsible for the gifts that we do give them. If we don't claim that responsibility, then we give up on them or we try to control them. But the gifts are given to help our children thrive. We are created to receive good gifts from God, and we're responsible for those gifts, to be steward of those gifts that God has given us. We don't just walk away and, oh yeah, I get all this stuff, I must be blessed. No, we are stewards of the gifts, and we're responsible for the decisions we make around that. How we treat others is still our decision, and we must take responsibility for our actions. So, ask, seek, and knock. We're praying for God's generosity. That when we ask and seek and knock, we live within God's given capacities. These are God's capacities to us. That God will give us the good gifts to sustain life to those who ask. And, you know, as I think of this, how does this fit with people who are being persecuted, who are struggling so deep? And sometimes those who have been persecuted, they recognize dying for the sake of Jesus is a gift that God has given them. And then the third imperative is to do to others as you would have them do to you. And the two relationships, the first relationship dynamic is learning to trust in Christ. And we continue, this is a lifelong learning. We don't just do that once or twice. It's a daily thing. And it's moment by moment we learn to trust in Jesus. And the second dynamic relationship is we have to take the initiative and responsibility to learn and grow as God's children. So, ask, seek, and knock. Where's God leading you even this morning? And when we receive these gifts, when we offer them, what do we notice about God's generosity? And when we do to others as we expect them to do to us, what kind of behavior does that look like? How does God's love work through our lives? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that at the Sermon on the Mount, you have put so many principles to living in one place. And we have just explored a little bit of that, asking and seeking and knocking. And we pray that in this process, we will experience your generosity. Generosity only comes as we trust in you. We take responsibility for our own actions. And we learn what it means to live in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.